This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
Plenty of discussion today on plenty of interesting topics. We have got Olympic soccer to talk about. We've got a scandal in Canadian soccer. Yeah. I'm going to get into all that.
They're supposed to be the nice guys.
Not anymore. No. Nice. No, not nice at all. If you believe what's out there, and we do, we believe all of it. And we're going to talk to you about it.
Talk to you about it.
Yeah. We're also going to talk about how one English soccer team is not aware that joking is a thing and that banter exists. We're going to get into that and talk about the domination
of a
Champions League team right there at the lower.com field, baby. My guys smoked the other team. I don't know what you're talking about.
Your guys smoked your guys.
These colors don't run, baby. Black and gold. It's nice when you root for both. You can just pick whichever one was better.
Exactly.
It's great. And then, of course, we're going to start here, Beamer, with a little bit of transfer news as well for the crew. I guess we'll start before that. How have you been? How have you been enjoying the Olympics?
Good.
How has young William been enjoying the Olympics?
Good. Yeah, man, we're good. We're good. Starting to get to the stage that we talked a little bit, you know, before we cracked on the microphones. At the stage with William where he's starting to throw, like, mini tantrums.
How does he know? Like, 16 months?
16 months. He'll be 17. He'll be 17 months next week.
There you go.
So, I mean, he's walking, he's babbling, like he's picking up new words, you know, all kinds of different stuff. Like duck is a pretty big one right now. he likes seeing the duck. He really likes one of his favorite activities. He's a total nerd. He gets that from his mom. Mm-hmm. He likes opening up. He loves reading, which is great.
Yeah.
So we probably read 100 books a day, you know.
Oh, that's good.
And yes. he likes to flip through the pages. But we've gotten him like those word books where it has the picture and then it like what it is. And so he really likes those because he points at something and then we tell him what it is. Like if it's a horse, you know, we go, horse, what does the horse say?
Yeah.
Nay. You know, like we just do that. So he like points at all the different pictures. So horse has been a big one. He can't really say it, but he just goes, nay. You know, like he understands what it is, but he doesn't know how to say horse. So that's been pretty cool. But the bad part of that scope is like the more cognizant and sentient that he has become, he realizes stuff that he wants to do. So we have a water table and like a mini tiny inflatable pool out in the backyard.
Yeah.
Which we will fill up the pool, then empty it. I mean, it doesn't take but 5 minutes to fill it up. The water table we put a cover on. And so we've gotten to a point now where we can't even like open up our back door because they're right outside of our back door.
Oh.
You know, the water table and the pool. So if we open up the door to like let Theo out, our dog, he will then point to the water table and be like, "Wawa, wawa, wawa."
Yeah.
And we're like, "Yeah, that's for you, but we'll do it later on." Mm. And the concept of later on doesn't exist. And even when Mare was going up to fill the water, he just threw a fit for like 10 minutes while she's like filling up the pool for
him. He's like, "Let me get in that right
now." And
I'm
like, "Dude,
it's like, can't yet."
I'm like, "Let me get you changed. We're not going to jump in there fully clothed." So he's become more cognizant and realizes that when he's not doing something that he wants to do or something that we're making him do, he hates it.
Yeah, it would be nice if humans came about in such a way that when we got some of the skills, we got all the other skills we needed at that time. Like before this moment in his life, he's not been able to like probably fully control his arms, his gestures, his understanding of like, I want that, I'm gonna make noise and I might get it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just probably been a recent development for him.
Yeah.
What's probably not still there for at this age is that what is that, object permanence?
Correct.
Where it's like, uh-oh, that person left, they've disappeared from the universe.
they're gone.
So like he doesn't have that, so you take him away from the pool, he's like, it's disappeared. No, don't disappear.
Mom,
the pool.
Mom went upstairs, she's gone. Right. She has vanished.
She's never coming back.
Yeah,
it'd be nice if you got the use of arms, legs, mobility, some verbal skills, and like, oh, the pool will still be there 5 minutes. 5 minutes is a time that's not long.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand the concept right now.
No.
time is not even relative to him. It's non-existent. He doesn't understand any of that.
So that's what we've been doing. That's been the last couple of weeks. It's all right. It's good. You know, there's good and bad. Like, he's growing and we're having like more fun when we are having fun.
Yeah.
But then the times we're not having a good time, we're not having a good time even more. So like the spectrum and the range is pretty wide, but we've been good. Been enjoying it. Olympics, watching a lot of it. I mean, it's interesting because, you know, these are in France. So in the morning while we're doing the radio show, like, they're all on. So we're watching that live. And then in the midday, when like a lot of these medal events happen, like noon to like 3 o'clock is kind of the prime time for when that for happens them. In live. Usually like William is napping and so am I. So then I am not watching it in live time and either catching up on social media or I'm catching it on the broadcast later that night.
Ah, yes, yes.
And so yesterday was a perfect example. Spoiler alert, USA Women's, they won gold in the all-around.
Well, it's been at least 24 hours. So if you haven't paid, if you haven't seen that, I mean, they were on the Today Show this morning, so that's not on us now. So that's not our fault.
Wanted to just get that out there. They did win gold. That was great. So Mare watched it in the middle of the day. Like, she's watching it in live time. I get up from the nap. I'm, like, trying to stay off social media, have, like, muted the word Olympics on Twitter, trying to do all these different things. Yeah. We're going to the fair yesterday. I'm like, that'll be good. I kill some time off until we actually get to the broadcast. And yesterday she's like, hey, we won gold. And I'm like, there goes all my hard work. I wanted to watch it tonight and stay, you know, away from all that. She goes, oh, did you not want to know? I said, I've told you that couple events that we've had, you've been watching these. I haven't. I want to know. I want to watch Mike Tirico there in front of the Eiffel Tower. I want to watch it like it's live.
Yeah. That's I understand that. I appreciate that. I had the same thing where we were here at work yesterday, you know, because we were working, unlike you, slacking at home,
sleeping,
taking naps.
Yeah.
How dare you? It's not like you have a different schedule or anything.
No.
But then, like, everybody in the office, Paul Keels, Panama Ted, we're all just standing around the TV as Simone Biles is doing the floor exercise. This is the last event for her to secure the gold medal, and all she has to do basically go out there is, like, not completely mess up, and we're good. If she puts in an average Simone Biles, you know, appearance,
like,
she's going to be great.
Like,
yeah, we're good. And she goes out there and, yeah, pretty much does, like, above average, very, very good job. And so they all kind of know. They start grabbing the flag, and we're just kind of sitting there watching. We're like, all right, they're going to win the gold, right? And then they put the score up. And, I mean, everybody's just standing around watching it. It's one of those events that, you know, while you're looking at it, whether in primetime or whether live, you know, you and like tens of millions of people are experiencing this in a real time and going, that's cool. And I don't know. I like moments like that.
I do too. It's
I don't want to be in the middle of the 10 million people, but I like knowing in a distant place from me, miles away, someone else is also watching this and going, good job. Way to go. That's nice. It brings us together a little bit.
I know that you're a newly adopted fan of the sport of sevens rugby as well.
Tell you what, we were watching the men's rugby, the sevens. We were watching the women's rugby team. And shout out to the USA women's rugby team getting the job done with, like, essentially a 95-yard touchdown run with 10 seconds on the clock to secure a tie and then kick the extra point, or what is it, two?
Extra kick.
Yeah. Extra kick. And that was like a gimme because of the way they scored it. They got to kick from, like, the closest spot right down the middle, nailed that, beat the Aussies, right? Australia, one of the, you know, best rugby, I would presume.
Nations in the world,
Nations out there, yeah. They beat them and got their first ever medal for women's rugby. And I want to say first medal for rugby on any level for the U.S. in, like, 100 years. I think the men's team got
men's
one.
Men's has been around a little bit longer. Yes. Women's sevens was introduced just back in 2016.
Okay, yeah. But that's great that we got that done and Ilona Mayer and all the rest there, they are just...
She's great.
She was the one...
Fast forward to 2028, she will be like an American hero.
Oh,
they're going to win gold in 2028.
Oh, I can't wait. And now you saw, right after that happened, I saw the woman who owns the Washington Mystics or Washington Spirit. I think it's the soccer team, not the basketball team. Either way, she owns a few of the... She also owns the Olympic Lyonnais women's team.
Okay.
I forget her name. She's
very
a businesswoman,
good.
Very wealthy. She just announced she's going to spend $4 million on the rugby team over the next 4 years. So they're getting $1 million a year for just the women's rugby team.
That's
to
awesome.
Try. Yeah. So, like,
you'll see an explosion in that.
Yes.
In that sport.
Between us hosting the Olympics in 2028 and the World Cup in 2026, like, bald eagle American flag tattoos are going to go through the roof. Buy stock now because it's happening. There's going to be more of that. All right, let's talk about some actual soccer stuff. We will get to some Olympic discussion of soccer in a little bit. But Black and Gold made a big move, the Columbus Crew, trading a beloved player in Will Sands for a guy who is one of the best left backs in the league, DeJuan Jones. And
big Thanos.
Yeah,
DeJuan Jones.
This guy.
6'8" tackle for the Browns, played here for the Buckeyes.
Not the same guy. Not the same
different
guy. This guy is from East Lansing, Michigan.
Okay.
And but I did see when the FIFA rankings came out this year for, what do they call it now? Not FIFA. What's the name for the soccer game that EA Sports puts out?
EAFC.
EAFC, that's right. When they did the rankings for the players, like their, you know.
Yeah, their skill rankings.
Skill rankings. He was top five in left backs in MLS.
Nice.
Right there with Jordi Alba and the like. So, yeah, I think he was like at a 72.
Okay.
But this is one, I haven't watched a lot of New England soccer the last couple of years, even though I know Caleb Porter is there now.
Not watching.
No.
Not doing it.
But here's what I do know. I know his name, so that tells you, because I don't watch a lot of other MLS other than the Crew and, like, you know, the games, like the bigger important games. If it's Miami and Cincinnati, I'd flip that on.
I'm a Crew guy only.
Yeah, but I also will check in on, like, I'll try to check a game of the week out every now and then, and I'll watch the playoffs and stuff like that.
I'm a big Leagues Cup guy. Huge Leagues Cup guy.
No.
This is Leagues Cup podcast.
Yeah, it's all Leagues Cup all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But with DeJuan Jones, I knew his name, and I also am aware of the fact that people on Twitter who are Revs fans were losing their minds.
Great.
Over this. I saw this one. I actually printed it because I wanted to bring it in here and read it. Corey Capaccia.
All right.
I don't know who he is, but he's a Revs fan. Revs fan. 10 hours ago tweeted, "I wish DeJuan Jones nothing but success with the Crew. That's a franchise I would be proud to be a fan of. Owners who are committed to winning versus an owner here who uses the soccer franchise as a tax write-off. It's another sad day if you're a hashtag NERevs fan." Not the only one putting that sentiment out there is what I'm telling you. Now, Will Sands, good player.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of Crew fans were very high on Will Sands, and rightfully so. Sucks that the Charlotte Turf is the Charlotte Turf.
Yep.
And
we talked about that last year.
Yeah, just awful. So a guy who's been coming back from that injury, got to be on the field a little bit in that Aston Villa game, and good for him. But, you know, I think there's no question that you are getting now a guy. Will Sands is like a traditional left back, more mm-hmm. of that kind of role.
What is DeJuan?
He is a left back, but converted from midfield. He's a right-footed midfielder who's now been converted to one of the best left backs in the league. So
that, traditional route if you're going to make the jump.
Does that not, though, sound like the type of guy that this organization loves? Is like, yes.
Multifaceted players that can do anything and feel confident with him on the ball.
Yeah. Like a midfielder, you're not going to, like a guy who has had that type of, you know, training and who's played that position for so long, that's a guy who you're going to say, I know he can do the job on the ball. But yet, you also know he can defend now, and he's proven that in this league. So he is someone who knows how to get the job done in this league and was on a bad team. Not his fault that they're bad. He was just one of those players. I actually saw quite a few people saying, I can't believe he's going to the Crew. How did they pull this off? Why is he not going to Europe?
Yeah.
Like,
His transfer value is like $4.5 million.
Yeah. Like, this is a guy that's,
it's not a nothing ad in July right before the deadline.
No, and it's one of those things, too, that will he immediately come in and be the best player on the Crew straight away? No. Is there a chance that next year or in 3 months in the playoffs he has some big moments?
Of course.
And he is, number one, he's not coming here to sit on the bench, I don't think. I'm a big fan of, Max Arfston. I have my opinion is the way that Yael Yeboah is kind of like not being played a lot is my guess is that I think he's out of contract at the end of this year. I don't think this is clearly an indication they're not looking at him as a long-term piece here. So you are looking now at yet again, a team that can deploy in a lot of different ways. This sets you up for when injuries happen, but they're not bringing in this guy with that level. They gave $600,000 to the Revs too.
Yeah.
So you gave over $500,000
and a player
to get this player. That's not something you do for a guy who's going to ride the bench.
It does seem a little bit like the Julian Gressel signing last year, where it's like, hey, we're going to load up for the playoffs. You could be a guy, and probably more long-term, we hope,
for DeJuan,
than it would be for a Julian Gressel, who then after the season left for Miami. But like, you're talking about impact player. I'm imagining in my own little world that I'm living in, like that kind of impact. Like, I don't think anybody in the annals of crew history is going to go and say Julian Gressel, one of the best players in crew history. He had his moments.
No, it was very well. But look what happened in that series that we're talking about too. Like, or in the playoffs last year, we had rightfully so good discussions about Julian Gressel or Mo Farsi.
Yeah.
And who should pop in at that spot? And rightfully so, there were reasons for each of them. And you saw it that Wilfried Nancy had to make those tough decisions from time to time and decide when to sub guys on and that kind of thing. This is now one of those moves that gives him that flexibility yet again. So, yeah, I'm telling you, this is going to be, I think, this is a solid move. I love this move.
Fruitful signing?
This is a big deal to me. This is a very big deal and a very, very, very big play here. And he is that more like on that Julian Gressel front, he's like 26 or 27.
He's 27, yeah.
Okay, so not like a 21-year-old that, you know, oh my gosh, in 5 years, this guy could be. No, I mean, like he's probably playing at his potential right now and is probably in his prime. And instead of him going off to Europe and playing somewhere, he's coming to play for one of the best teams, if not the best team in MLS.
Yeah.
Guy wants to win a championship, can't blame him for that. And then who knows, in a year or two, he may not be here and go somewhere else. But I know there are a lot of Will Sands fans here. I get it, but I would much rather have production over potential.
Yeah.
And Will Sands is not like he's a bad player. Had an injury issue and hadn't been able to really get back on the field yet with that. Will probably be a very good player in MLS for a long time, but I like this move a lot. So sign me up.
It's kind of interesting to just hearkening back to the Dressel move that, what did I just say?
Well, like with bringing him in, that was like middle of the season last year. It helped out with
Gressel. I said Dressel, and I knew that was wrong.
Oh, you said Dressel.
I said Dressel.
I heard Gressel.
I'm like, Dressel. I got Olympics like Caleb Dressel in my mind, the swimmer. I'm like, I know that wasn't right. Julian Gressel.
Yeah.
It is interesting to me. So Bez is now gone. It's interesting to me, like Issa Tall is having the same kind of strategy. And we know that. I mean, he was Bez's right-hand guy for a while, right?
Yeah.
And so kind of seeing this first summer takeover and what it looks like with him at the helm instead of Bez. And it does look like very similar to what we have seen in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the type of move that I would expect from the old regime.
Yeah.
Issa Tall, I don't want to say he's the new regime, but he's the new leadership.
Mm-hmm.
He's the, you know, taking over that role and Prez Bez did a great job with
all
that.
Did a great job.
But now we get to see one of the first moves that he's making. Issa Tall, I think, gets a very good grade on this one.
So far, on paper.
Initially, yeah, on paper. We'll see how it pans out. If Will Sands goes out and balls out and, you know, DeJuan Jones is, you know, injury riddled and doesn't get on the field much, that'll be a different story. But this all makes sense to me. This all sounds like a good idea. So I'm hopeful that will work out.
When do we play in it? Do we play next Friday?
Yeah, the next game for the crew. I saw Cucho is on vacation, I want to say.
It's
in
perfect.
One of the,
stay on vacation until Leagues Cup is
the Caribbean.
Done.
Yeah. Well, I saw the Red Bulls. They've already lost, like, I think their first two games.
Oh, so they're out. They're done.
They're pretty much have ended their Leagues Cup run. I think they'll have to play another game, obviously.
No, because it's only three teams in a pod.
Oh, you're right. So then they're
done.
But they were pointing out how they're already out while some teams have not even played their first game yet. And I said, you know what? Good for the New York Red Bulls for participating in the supporters boycott of Leagues Cup, trying to get back U.S. Open Cup here. I like how they participated in it on the field. That's good. Yeah, so the crew don't play for, you know, another week and a half.
It'll be at home next Friday. We don't know. It's Toluca, Chicago, and St. Louis, right?
Second place team from the St. Louis, Toluca, Chicago group.
Okay.
So who knows how that'll
I don't think Chicago's played a game yet.
Okay. So we'll find out how that one goes. But I know that people are pointing out that if the crew win that game, the grouping that likely would appear to be next on the horizon would be the winner of a group that includes Pachuca and a bunch of other teams.
Oh, boy.
But Pachuca could theoretically be your next round matchup after this game on Friday
at
if they
home.
Can win it. And you get it at home. And, yes.
Okay.
The Massive, which is the Reddit community for Columbus Crew fans, I saw people asking, what restaurant would you recommend Pachuca go to?
That's great.
I like that a lot.
That's awesome.
We may have to do a pop-up shop.
Town hall.
This is called Oops All Diarrhea.
We may just have to call that one.
Oh, look, is that rancid milk? Well,
whoopsies.
Ipsadoozle. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Now, see, that...
Now that
I'm still kind of torn about the... I don't like the League's Cup. We've made that very apparent last year and this year.
Yeah.
But then getting Pachuca at home... If you don't get Pachuca at home, who cares? Like, if they're not in your grouping.
There can be... We can all acknowledge... Let me make a dumb analogy. Is Walmart the greatest store known to man?
Yes.
No. There are better stores. There are better places to get probably fine goods. Can you go to Walmart and find something very satisfying and exactly what you were looking for?
Yes.
Absolutely you can. And I'm just saying, is League's Cup the competition I really want the Crew to put all their eggs into that basket? Hell no.
You'd rather shop at Weiland's.
Yeah, that's much better. Yes, Weiland's much better grocery store. However, if we're in League's Cup, I'm going to make sure I find the best deal. And if you get to play Pachuca and you can get some measure of revenge and you can go beat them, you don't think the Crew are going to be up for that? You don't think that stadium's going to be up for that?
Mm-hmm.
I would be interested
in
getting that game won and then saying thanks for everything. Goodbye, League's Cup.
We're done. Yeah, we're out of here.
I wonder how much the players are motivated by something like you could go up against, if he's healthy enough, I don't know if he will be. Like, if you get to a final in this, is Lionel Messi going to be ready by that time to play?
I don't know.
If he's in that. That's the only reason I could see, other than the players just always wanting to win everything because they're competitive. Like, I wonder if there's any extra juice on stuff like that. But there will be extra juice to get to this Pachuca game, if that happens.
Yeah, for sure.
So, something that's not yet guaranteed to happen. There's a lot of other dominoes have to fall. And who knows? Pachuca might lose a game and end up not winning their group or something.
We might lose the game next Friday.
Of course, yeah. Like, there's no guarantee of this, but there's at least an outside chance.
And if we did lose that
game
next Friday, I would say, okay, that's fine. Yeah. Like, who cares?
Yes, I would actually be happier about that because then you get them, like, 3 weeks off.
Yeah, and enjoy your summer, boys.
Let the group just train their asses off, be ready. Yeah. And then, your first couple games might be a little rough because you've been rusty, but I don't know. Schedule another friendly against Aston Villa. Why not? That seemed to work
well. They'd feel a lot better about that.
How about that? 4-1, huh?
Cucho, first half hat trick.
Yeah. Think maybe some teams in Europe.
Every Crew fan was like, stay away.
Yeah.
Like on Twitter at the same
time. Please don't look at
this. The first goal he scored, second, and then after the third, it's like, you don't get him. He's ours.
Well, by the
way, stay
away. I just want to remind people, like, he was over there in England playing. Yeah. That's how we got him. Everyone who scouts soccer in England is aware of him. They were aware of him before we were likely, many of us, aware of him. So they know he's good. They may have just seen another level of how he's progressed over the years. But look, if you win MLS Cup, they can say all they want over there. They don't pay attention to that. They know who wins MLS Cup in Europe. Like, there are a lot of soccer fans in Europe. Not, I'm saying everybody. Just like we have casuals here with Ohio State football who couldn't tell you the quarterback of any other college football team, but they go watch the Buckeyes every week.
Yeah.
There are people in Europe like that, but people who watch college football here know a lot about other teams than just their favorite one. That's the way it is in Europe. They know about their favorite leagues. They know about Champions League. They know who wins MLS Cup. They may not know every player on that team. They know who Cucho is because they'll say, oh, yeah, the dude who was playing for Watford, that guy. I remember him.
I remember him.
Yeah. So that's totally fine. I'm not.
Were you wearing a split like Laura Quinn / Laura Hawk jersey at the house the other night when you were watching?
They now call that jersey a Laura Hawk Tua jersey because it's two jerseys in one. That's so stupid, and I'm sorry, and that joke has died. No, I was not. I was fully black and gold out, and here's why. As much as I enjoy Aston Villa and I'm rooting for them, I am a Crew fan first and foremost, and what steeled my resolve a bit was some of the Aston Villa supporters groups being like, oh, these Crew fans, we're going to teach them. No, you're not. You're not going to teach us anything. You're going to teach us how to watch a team from 8,000 miles away? Yeah, I guess you could teach us that. No, you're not. I don't like it when supporters culture in the U.S., English Premier League supporters groups, try to tell fans who actually go to a stadium every week to watch their team, hey, let me tell you how soccer culture is. You're not in the stands. You're a plane ride away from the stands every week.
Gatekeeper,
my
bone.
Guy. No, not gatekeeper.
I know.
The gatekeepers are getting it today. Now, I have no problem, as again, I am an Aston Villa rooter and supporter. I am happy for them. I am going to be getting an Aston Villa jersey for this year because they, one, they involved Ozzy Osbourne and Geezer Butler in the reveal of their kit,
which was
awesome.
Great release video.
Some Birmingham locals themselves. But also, they're in Champions League. So now, other than, of course, Real Madrid, I have a Champions League team. And should those two meet, I will once again be conflicted. But now, one of my teams that I broke my curse with, right? Aston Villa allowed me to have a Premier League team I rooted for that not only didn't get relegated, they went the Oppo Taco way and got Champions League.
You deserved it.
So I'm going to root for Champions League Aston Villa this year. Absolutely.
Yeah, I got on the old social media on Sunday morning. And listen, all of our supporters groups here are great, right? I'm part of one with the Red Devils. The Liverpool guys are great.
The Aston Villa dudes are awesome.
Aston Villa guys visit us when we were down at Zaftig.
Connor's a good guy who runs that.
They're great people. I saw the tweet on Sunday morning. It said, it's funny how Crew fans think this was the best 11. No,
we don't.
It's funny how you're taking this entire thing seriously. It means that game meant nothing.
Yeah. It was a little bit like when I woke up this week and found out that one side of the political spectrum in our country has decided to freak out about being called the word weird. Like when I found that out, I was like, I did not expect that at all. I thought everybody knew this was just a joke. I had no idea that would freak everybody out. I had no idea that some Aston Villa fans would be very much in their feelings about losing a friendly preseason match.
It didn't matter.
No, we know it doesn't.
Nothing matters.
Do you know, by the way, like they're like, we didn't play our best 11. They played Owen Prestes got in this game, which, great. If you don't know his story, Tom Prestes, former Crew goalkeeper, played for that team, played for us for many years. Tommy is a great guy, great Crew legend, all that stuff. His kid is like 16 or 17 years old now and is in the academy. They've signed him. This is a big deal. It's cool. It's historic. It's lineage. He got on the field in this game for his unofficial team debut because it wasn't an official match. It's just a friendly. That's a great moment. That's also not what they're doing if they're taking this match like like it's, you know, Champions Cup or one of their big MLS games. They're not putting a 16, 17-year-old kid out there right yet. That's all. Like, I'm just pointing out that you also got some of not our starters out there at times in this game. But, yes, you did get Cucho Hernandez giving you a hat trick.
Yep.
Enjoy that. You know what? You get to take that home. That's a souvenir from America. Enjoy watching. Here you go. You came to the Crew Stadium. You got to see a first half hat trick. You don't see that every day.
The best part about the entire thing, and I wasn't down at the stadium for this game, but I did see, so you know how the Nationwide building lights up with, it lights up with, you know, some words and like it, during the MLS playoff run, it said, go Crew.
Or
like,
they'll do that with the CBJ. Jacket season starting up. Yeah.
Buckeye, go Bucks, all the different things. They write it inside of the building with the lights. So you can see it from all across the city. So I don't know why they lit it up with this, but like it had been on, it was night. It said one goal. So I don't know what the goal was for. Maybe it was Pelotonia.
It probably was. Yeah. I think that's their thing. One goal.
That's their goal. Yeah. Right. Like that's it. One goal and cancer. Like that's their saying.
That sounds, I believe that's right.
So I'm guessing it was for that, but someone took a picture of the Villa fans walking towards the Nationwide building and just the lights being on that said one goal after they scored one goal here. I'm like, that is great. It's perfect.
You know, technically that sign wasn't there for Aston Villa fans. I don't know why Crew fans are doing this. Yeah, this is called banter. Isn't this what you guys all love in England? Isn't it all about the bants? All about winning the stands, all that stuff? Good Lord. I found that so interesting. You're right. I saw a bunch of Aston Villa supporters.
I just had to hop on Twitter and fire back. I never do. I usually never do.
I understand. Well, that's just it, though. This is what will always annoy me. Whether you are a Manchester United fan, whether you are a fan of a team in Al Ahly in Egypt, whether you are a Crew fan, whether you are wherever you are, if you cannot laugh at yourself and you cannot enjoy the fact that people around the world experience this game in a variety of ways, and it's just as important to them as it is to you, then if you can do those things, we'll get along great. But if you're going to be someone who's like, oh, you root for an MLS team, you don't know what real soccer is then, I guess. It's like, no, I think people who go to these games every week, by the way, I'm not one of them. I don't go to the Nordic every week and sit there. I used to. I have other things going now with life and where we live and all that. But I know that people who go to Crew games every week, season ticket holders, people who watch this team every week, who don't go to games, they're just as invested as you are.
Yeah.
If you're supporting a team, whether you live in England or in Mansfield or in Dubai and you root for Aston Villa, you are allowed to do that from wherever you want in the world. You can be just as invested. Don't knock people who root for another league and say they don't know what it's like to root for a team. That's the point I want to make. Other than that, I'm not mad at all. I'm fine. It's good.
Well, your Crew won. Your team won. I was going to ask you how this works, because for the first time since doing a podcast, your adoption of a Premier League team has never gotten to a second season. So I didn't know if you were going to drop Villa and go for somebody else.
But you know what?
You are staying.
Well, here's the thing. I said Aston Villa can be my Champions League team, and I plan on rooting for them and getting in a jersey for another year. I think I should be afforded that if the team I latch onto makes Champions League in my year where I adopt them. I think I should get another year with them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I was planning on staying with them.
Those are the ground rules? So if they miss Champions League next year, you're on to a different team.
Well, yeah. I mean, I will have had 2 years of supporting them.
Yeah.
And I will have had a very good run with that.
Until Sunderland gets back in the Premier League.
Well, and by the way, Sunderland may get back to this year. I don't know. They are still in Championship. They are only one good season away from getting back. By the way, also, can I just speak briefly on an annoyance I had, and then we can move on? Soccer teams, especially in England, but all over the world, can you please stop with the jersey releases? And, oh, here's the big jersey. Oh, come and get it. Jersey's out. Yay, new kits are available. The kit unveiling. Here's our second kit. Here's our third kit. And then you go, and it's like, they just dropped today at 10 a.m. Go get them. And then you click at, like, mid-noon or 2:30 or something, and you click, and it's like, sold out. Kids jersey? Do you want a kids jersey? They're all gone. Why don't you make more of these jerseys? Do you not know that people want these things?
Supply and demand, Bone.
Supply and demand. Every year it happens. I've been trying to get a Sunderland jersey for like 3 years running, and all I can get is like a men's extra medium. There's nothing for me. There's no jerseys. It's like I go the day of it being announced, Sunderland, and it's already gone. I hate it.
I'm going to get you. I'm going to find you.
No. Here's what it is. I just want to buy it in a very easy, simple way, which is I go to Sunderland's website, I click purchase, and then they send it to me.
I don't want
to go on European England Soccer Shop.org.uk.
I'm
going to
call Ryan Reynolds.
No.
And he somehow knows the Sunderland owner, and we're going to get that taken
care of. Well, he does. He's probably looking up at him going, someday, we could be Sunderland. Someday. We have Netflix special. We could be in the Championship. What a day that would be, huh?
And League One this year, Wrexham?
I feel like they're fourth. Are they third division?
Yeah.
Oh, right there with Peterborough United. Watch out, Southend.
We're still in the Conference Premier North.
You need a celebrity who's in Marvel movies.
Apparently it was The Rock, and then some Australian billionaire bought him, so that's fine.
Oh, did you get a billionaire to buy? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I was going to suggest Robert Downey Jr.
That'd be fine, too.
Dr. Doom.
Also.
Back.
Iron Man.
No, but now Dr. Doom, they just unveiled at the...
I don't have the mind space for Marvel. I quit watching them after Black
Panther.
I'm done.
You know that they... Marvel and Robert Downey Jr. both were like, you know what? We should probably just do this again.
Do you want hundreds more of millions of dollars, Robert?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
He does.
That sounds good.
And he's probably like, Marvel, would you like to have movies that are relevant again that people go see? Other than Deadpool. Because Deadpool, of course, is a Marvel property. But
got to fund those Wrexham trips.
Well, Deadpool is doing just fine.
Yeah.
That, if you didn't see, it's already made like $500 million already. And it's not even been out a week. So I can't wait. I'm going to see it at some point.
With Wolverine?
Yeah. Hugh Jackman and Deadpool and Ryan
Reynolds
together.
The first Deadpool? Is this the third like iteration?
Third. This will be the it.
Didn't see the second one. Liked the first one.
Second one's great.
Okay.
You should watch the second
one.
It's
very lewd, Deadpool.
Yeah. That's his thing.
Mayor says she sees kids like, you know, eighth grader, seventh graders.
Oh, yeah.
Wearing Deadpool stuff. I'm like,
I
don't know if that's for you.
I have an eighth grader. She's not watching Deadpool yet.
Yeah.
I'm not saying she could watch maybe a couple R-rated movies. That's not one I'm letting her watch yet.
I watched the first one and said, I don't know if I should be watching this. It was like 25.
Well, it's violent. The whole thing, like, yeah. All right, Wolverine and Deadpool, they both have regenerative healing.
On the violence spectrum, they're pretty high.
So if you don't think this movie's going to be, it has to be absurd levels of violence, I'm guessing, because all they can do is slice each other, dice each other, and then they regrow and they're fine. So Wolverine's got adamantium, and that's, you can only get that in you if you can survive, like, horrible death.
You lost me.
That's his skeleton. That's his little blades. That's adamantium.
Is Charles Xavier in this movie?
I don't think so. Okay. I don't, because they've separated like the X-Men from like Wolverine.
So that's DC, isn't it?
No,
X-Men?
No, that's all Marvel. That's all.
I just committed a felony.
No, it's okay. Marvel, Sony, look, Disney, Sony, Marvel, it's a whole thing. We'll get into it at some point. It's like trying to explain the Carabao Cup.
Okay. And with that, it's like trying to explain League's Cup. Yeah, I'm lost.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll leave it there. When we come back, Olympics. Good, bad, and otherwise. We'll talk about it next. You're listening to Bone and Beam United.
It defies description. Now back to Bone and Beam United.
Of course, you can always tweet the program at Bone Beam United on Twitter.
Catch those crosshairs.
You can get into a fight with Beam when he's feeling salty.
I wasn't feeling salty about anything.
Yeah, by the way, the Aston Villa Lions supporters group here in Columbus, the Columbus Lions, they're great. Great dudes, great gals and guys there. Have fun with them. I think I don't remember if it's public yet, but they have a spot secured for this year. I'm sure they'll post it. We'll retweet their account so you know where they are, but go follow them. And Aston Villa, hey, this should be, imagine if Aston Villa makes a run in Champions League and you just watch the Crew play their team. I know not their first team, but that's the team you got to go watch if you're a Crew fan this year that came to Columbus. Just the fact they're one of the English Premier League teams that decided to come here. One of the three English Premier League teams playing soccer in Columbus, but they're the only ones brave enough to face the black and gold.
Come on, Pep.
You know
what are you waiting
for? Yeah, what are you waiting for there, Chelsea? You guys scared? Get a little bit of scared money over there?
I think they are.
Yeah. I'm just
Todd
saying.
Todd Bailey wants no part of us.
No part. He knows. I'm just saying, we, I think now, as having gone through that together, we have a shared history. So now Aston Villa, hey, we're rooting for you. Champions League.
But you are.
I am. Well, yeah, because you're rooting for Manchester United like a loser.
Right.
Like every year, just waiting for Lucy to pull the football away from you.
It's so true.
That's what you're doing.
It's like, hey, you're signing Lenny Euro. That's great. That's awesome. Boom. He's out 3 to 6 weeks. Ankle injury.
Boom.
Nice. That's good. Super pumped for the beginning of the year. Can't wait for that 3-0 loss against Fulham. Match day one.
Tough Acton Ten Hagen. That's what they call that instead of Ten Acton. There you go. What a dumb reference.
That was dumb.
I know. I'm sorry. But you said boom, and I thought John Madden, and I thought boom! It was commercials. Tough acting, ten acting. All right. So I'm saying go root for Aston Villa and support them and go out to check out their games. That should be fun. Now, on to Olympic qualifying. Olympic soccer. We are in it. Men's and women's teams doing great. You want to start with the women?
Yeah.
Because they are
flying,
rolling right now.
They play today.
I believe that is right, but they're already to the knockout stage.
Yeah, I mean,
they're
2-0. They beat Germany, and they beat Zambia.
Yes.
In their first match.
But that Germany match, though.
Oh, yeah.
Took it to them. And now they play Australia.
Today at 1 o'clock, but they're already through to the knockout.
So by the time you hear this, they'll have already had that game. But, this is what I want to stress to the U.S. soccer program, because they've done this already. You can do it again with the women's team. Hugely disappointing. In the World Cup last go
Big
around.
Time.
Vlatko Andonovski, I believe, was the previous manager and didn't get the job done. We all were concerned about his management abilities. He got fired. But you know what they went out and did? They went out and got perhaps the best manager you can in Emma Hayes, right? She is a great soccer manager. She knows
World
what she's
class
doing.
Manager.
World class. They went out and spent the money and got like one of the top five or six people I think you could find in the world to do this, that's who they got. I'm just saying, U.S. soccer, with the men's senior team, you can do that. You can go out and hire someone like that. It will cost you more than it probably costs to get Emma Hayes, but you can go out and did she have a reason to come to the U.S. other than she wanted to be someone who took that program to where it wants to go? Yes, the U.S. women's team has had a lot more success than the men's team. But that doesn't mean she gets any of that.
Right.
If anything, she has more pressure on her than someone would coming in to take the U.S. job.
Yeah, Because look at how far they had fallen.
Yeah. So she knows the standard is expected, and there's a lot more pressure on her there. On the men's side of things, people will be thrilled if you get the men to, like, the round of eight. If you can get to, like, quarterfinals.
Oh, that's a huge win.
My God. That would be, like, you've just done the greatest thing in the history of the world.
Means you had
US
won
soccer.
Two matches in the knockout rounds.
Right. Yeah. I'm saying that would be a thing that would get U.S. soccer fans to be building you a statue. So don't set your sights too low when you're the U.S. soccer team making this new hire. You have to go for the, like, shoot
Patrick
for the best.
Patrick Vieira, like, the most recent candidate, right?
Fine. Like, a guy who has experience in MLS.
Thierry Henry looking good coaching France in the Olympics.
Hey, there you go. See?
I said let's put a pin in Thierry.
You're right. I would be thrilled if they got Thierry Henry, but what I'm saying is I believe there are even better candidates than a guy who got fired at Montreal and Monaco, right? Isn't that where he was after us?
Yeah. Klopster's out.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
Surprising.
That was
so funny, too, because we recorded that podcast when Greg got fired, and we did all of it. Was that our last podcast, our, like, live podcast?
Oh, yeah, I think
you're
right.
Because we had the Jose episode, and then last week we didn't record one.
Yeah.
And it was so funny, like, 2 hours after we recorded it and did, like, 20 minutes on Klopp, but both of us being tepid about that.
Yeah, both said we didn't think it was likely.
Yeah, and then it was like, nope, he's not interested at all.
Yes,
it's like,
yes.
Oh, okay, yeah, that was about expected.
We figured that out. I think most people could, but we all wanted to hope a little bit, and that's fine. At least those of us who don't already hate his guts. Unlike you, Manchester United fan.
I don't hate his guts. I like him, which I dislike about myself more. those Liverpool teams were great. Like, I respect the hell out of those Liverpool
beautiful
teams.
Football there.
And the worst part about it is that they were generally likable. Like, Mo Salah, I can't hate on Mo Salah.
Mo Salah's great.
Virgil van Dijk's one of the best players of all time, best defenders of all time.
Yeah.
How can I hate on a guy like that?
Yeah.
You know, like,
I mean, now you can because he's not as good, but
well, right.
But
Bobby Firmino, love that guy. Sadio Mane, that guy's great.
Yeah.
Like, generally likable people that I just had to force myself into disliking. But now that they're away from that,
because of your allegiances,
because of my allegiances. Yes. Mm.
They get in the way of good times.
By the way, we were up in Michigan and I don't think I told you this story, but so we've got City and Chelsea coming to the Horseshoe. And one of our friends, I've told you, it's kind of like a neighborhood. So Mayor's mom and her aunt and uncle have a house. That's where we stay. And then her grandpa has a house two doors down. So, like, that's where Meredith's brother stayed. On the other side of that house, the dad of the family is a big Liverpool fan. His son is a big Chelsea fan. They live here in Columbus now.
Sure.
And I asked him, I said, are you going to the City and Chelsea game over at the Horseshoe? Because, no, tickets were too expensive. I did my good deed, and I procured tickets.
Oh, look at you.
For them, and I gave them the tickets.
Good.
So they're
you.
Going to the City-Chelsea game. Again, we had talked about that coming around. I'm like, it's cool. That's great. That's awesome. I have no interest in seeing those teams. I don't. I'm like, I'm good. If everybody else wants to go, even if you're a neutral, you want to go see those teams, that's great. Me, personally, didn't want to do it. And so we got some tickets through the station. I'm like, I'll just give them to them because they're a Chelsea fan. Like, they would much rather enjoy this than I would. And so the crux of why I did that, though, is because his dad is a Liverpool fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't have done it unless, again, somebody entered my crosshairs because this was a ticket giving out of spite because his dad is a big Liverpool fan.
Yeah, yeah,
and so
yeah.
We're talking. He's like, hey, you're a fan of soccer, right? And I'm like, yeah, because he listens to the station.
Okay.
You know, he goes, you're a fan of some, like, shitty team, right? And I'm like, yeah, Manchester United. Yeah, sure. And I'm like, why? And he goes, well, I'm a Liverpool fan. And he, like, puffed out his chest. I'm like, well, you guys are getting ready to enter the dark ages right now. So have fun with this.
Yeah.
Have a great time. You know, the banter, of course, I will laugh at myself. But then his son, who's like the diehard Chelsea fan, is like, my dad gets so mad at me for not putting our daughters in Liverpool gear that he, like, supplies to us. He's like, why would I ever put them in Liverpool gear?
Oh, man.
And so for him saying that to me ended up the reason why they're going to the City and Chelsea game.
I love it. Good for you. That's a really nice, spiteful gesture. Like, friendly.
It covers both ends of the spectrum.
It was nice on one side, spiteful on the other, to the appropriate people involved. It all made sense. That's great. Now, I was not initially planning on going to this. However, I was offered, and I could not pass up, an opportunity. And believe it or not, I guess I have to say I was offered this by Manchester City. They are trying to get me to be their fan. I don't know. They're trying to pit us against each other, Beam. They offered my lovely children the opportunity to go on the field
You got to do it.
And I did. I took them. I actually, and I feel bad. My buddies Justin and Sam and I were going to do a 20-mile hike that morning, which is, I mean, in itself a daunting task. And we had been planning for this, and then I got this call, and it's the same day. Now, the game's not till like 5:30.
Yeah, but...
But we have to get there early.
20 miles taking a while.
This hike is also down in like southern Ohio.
Okay.
So for a few days, I had this knowledge that I could take advantage of this. And so I thought, maybe the kids won't want to. So I asked them, thinking they would be like, ew, no, I don't want to do it.
They jumped all over.
They were like, oh my gosh, Chelsea and Manchester City, we want to go be on the field. We want to be a part of that. And I'm like, of course you do. Why wouldn't you? And then I'm thinking, well, maybe I could like get in the car and drive down and get there. And I'm looking at the times we have to be there. And there's no way. So I actually had to cancel on some good friends with a thing I wanted to do with them. And I apologized to them for it. They were very understanding. I still felt like crap about doing it. But I'm getting to go to Ohio Stadium to watch Manchester City and Chelsea and take the kids out on the field. So naturally, yes, I had to take that opportunity.
Meet and greet with the players? Like, you're going to get to do
They're
that?
They're going to get to hold, like, the flags.
That's
you know, like,
great.
So they'll be right there with all of that pregame festivities.
Oh, yeah.
And they know, they're like, don't they have, like, a big, tall, blonde guy that's, like, the best scorer in the world?
Yes,
and I was like,
they
kind of do on Manchester City. Erling Haaland. They're like,
his name
is
Jack Grealish.
Well, that's my Aston Villa fan, of course. You know my years of rooting for Aston Villa. I have so many fond memories of Jack Grealish in that kit. So now I'll get to see him, albeit in enemy colors, but I'll get to see him there. Still wearing some form of claret
blue. You had to do it. You had to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to turn that down. So I'm looking very much forward to when some fine day, 6 or 7 years from now, maybe Manchester City, maybe Liverpool, comes through town and says, hey, Brandon Beam. Here you got a little shaver there who loves soccer. You love soccer. What we'd love to do is get that kid, your son, William. We love that name, William, by the way, in this country. Love it. We'll get him out on the field, and maybe he can walk out with, I don't know, whoever the big studs are for Liverpool 6 or 7 years
You'll
from
never
now.
Never walk alone, William.
I can't wait. I'm hopeful
it
happens.
I wouldn't tell him about it. I don't think I would even mention it. Bone, I skipped the Premier League trophy being here because I didn't want to see it.
I thought you just had to get out of here.
No, I didn't want any part of it. I wanted no part of it.
Well, that's
I made up an excuse, but my blood pressure would have risen so much that because coming in here, like I knew that it was going to be the City people bringing it in. And then I saw the pictures all around the station, everybody taking pictures with it. And it's like, Man City, 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, 4 years in a row. Right above that was Liverpool. I'm like, this is the happiest day of my life that I was miles away.
It's actually, I mean, it's what, 7 straight years of pain for you? Because it's two years.
That sucked.
It's 2 years of City, then Liverpool, then 4 years of City.
It's
terrible. Just a poo sandwich for anybody who doesn't like those teams.
Yeah.
That's bad, but good if you're a, you know, neutral like me who can really just kind of enjoy it all and just be able to wave at Manchester City people and Chelsea.
It'll be a great time for you.
And I will say this. I think we've touched on this before. If that event is Saturday, it's at the Shoe, tickets are still available. I'm not saying that because they told me I get to go. I'm just telling you as a soccer fan, if you have a chance to go and you want to, you should.
I'm also on my yearly fishing trip this weekend, which is another big reason why I'm not
going. You are actually gone. But I will say this. If you are a neutral, or even if you're like a casual, like you're a crew fan, you don't really have a Premier League team.
Yeah.
Go there wearing neutral colors. Don't wear your crew jersey. Don't wear anything. Just wear like a regular shirt. I'm sure you have
one
of those.
Ohio State shirt.
Well, don't even do that. Just wear like a black T-shirt or a white T-shirt.
Wearing a gray pocket tee.
Gray pocket tees. Great. And then walk up to a tailgate because there will be tailgates. There will be parties. Walk up to one with Chelsea fans and be like, hey, tell me why I should root for Chelsea. And they will be like, oh, come in here. And then they'll hand you a beer and they'll tell you all about Chelsea and you can drink their free beer and be like, I'm a Chelsea man. And they'll be like, here's a scarf. And you're like, yeah. And then you can walk away from that, throw the scarf in the trash, go right to a Manchester City thing and be like, tell me why I should be a Manchester City fan. And they'll be like, and then here's another beer. And then here's a scarf.
I don't know. You started liking the sport 2 years ago.
And then you can throw that in the trash and then go into the game already drunk from all the free stuff you got. Or take both the scarves and tie them together and be Laura Quinn / Hawk and then do that.
Maybe I'll do that.
Actually, they already sell those. This is one thing that Europe does that we don't do very often, which is here's a scarf with both the team's logos, the date of the game, the location of the game, They will have these there. So if you want to, like, if you're a neutral like me, I will get the kids these scarves just to say you were on the field for this game 30 years from now. And they're like, didn't we do a soccer thing? And I'll be like, yes, the date is clearly printed on this scarf, which you have thrown into the attic and I have saved. But it's here.
That is going to live in your basement someday.
I spent $75 on these two scarves, so you would remember it someday. The youngest can't do it. She's only four. So okay. They said you have to be six.
Okay.
Otherwise, she would have got to go too. But she's going. She's not going to be on the field. But kind of wish she was because,
oh,
man,
that's great.
She would be. They might have to cancel the game. If the four-year-old got on the field, I don't think they'd get it started.
If you ever pick City as your team.
I've never picked
them. I'm leaving the show.
I want to be clear. Although, I have been told by many people that I look good in blue. Blue is a color
that
people say.
Brings up the color of your eyes.
They say it's a good color for me.
Yeah.
I can't deny that, but I also probably am never going to root for either Chelsea or City. But you know what? I will be rooting for great soccer.
Of course.
This Saturday. And I'm looking forward. Dude, I am jacked about the fact that like Erling Haaland will walk out onto Ohio Stadium field and I will get to see him
in the
putting
flesh,
in,
like
20, if he puts in 20 minutes, I'll get to see Erling Haaland play for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I'll take it. If that happens, you know,
you just get to see him in person. It's pretty neat.
Yeah. Getting to see these guys. I've seen a lot of soccer. I've watched Crew games in Ohio Stadium many years ago. Never really, you know, have seen a soccer game there since. I know they did the Real Madrid game.
I was
here.
At that game.
I didn't go to that
Real
one.
Real Madrid game. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't get to go to that one, but I'm excited about this one. Should have gone. As a longtime Real Madrid fan, I should have gone. Seen Luka Modric in the flesh.
Maybe I will regret not taking William on this in a few years when he's like a diehard Chelsea fan.
Let's hope not. I hope not for you. I think you've got him already. I think he's going to be fairly clear on who he's allowed to report.
He's trending. He doesn't have really a voice in the matter, but he's got a lot more like Cleveland sports gear than he does.
Oh.
And like.
Well, that's right. That's fair. You got a lot of people in your life that love Cleveland sports.
Yep.
So that makes sense. Now, switching back to the Olympics real quick. Men's team into the quarterfinals.
First time since 2000.
Well, hadn't made the tournament like the last two times also. So that's good. After their first game, I was worried. But they bounced back, got a couple good wins, including a 3-0 destruction of Guinea, which nice. I mean, obviously not a soccer power there in Guinea, but did what you're supposed to do. Got out early in that one. Nice goals. So now they play Morocco on Friday. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
That's going to be a big deal there.
Well, Morocco beat Argentina in that first game, and that was a disaster. I know we were off.
Oh, that was
that was the opener. Like, that
if
was
you
the
didn't
Olympic
see
opener.
That, that's
crazy.
The one where they had Argentina scored a stoppage time. And by stoppage time, I mean
in the
they,
107th minute.
They went 15-plus minutes of stoppage time, which is absurd to begin with, but then they still went beyond that. However, their goal they scored was deemed to be offside by VAR.
Not before a two-hour break because Morocco fans were throwing stuff on the field. They had to clear out the stadium, empty it. VAR, in the meantime, is checking it, saying, hey, the game is not over.
Yeah.
This goal is not going to stand. You have to come back. So it took them 2 hours to clear out the stadium. They had to then come back and play three more minutes.
Yes. They had a full warm-up to start up, and then they dropped the ball, and it was – I mean, Morocco was hanging on for 3 minutes because they ruled that Argentina had not scored that goal.
Yeah.
So it was not 2-2. It was 2-1. Morocco had to hang on for their life and defend for 3 minutes, but they won.
Yeah.
Pulled off the upset. And so now that's who the U.S. get to play on Friday.
Tough
so,
one.
Not easy.
Think
but you
about
know what?
This, though.
It's progress. We'll take it.
Win this match and you are playing in a medal match. You are guaranteed to play for a medal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because if you get into the semifinals, you lose, then you're in the third place game.
That would be excellent. And by the way, Patrick Schulte.
Yeah.
Pitching a shutout there.
Nice rebound from the France game.
Absolutely. Had to do, you know what? They needed that for sure.
Yeah.
And you're gonna have to beat someone. I mean, Morocco is going to be your tough test. If you can get past them, then I start to believe a little bit more about winning a medal. But
they're good.
This is gonna be a huge obstacle getting past Morocco, I feel like.
That's a Friday morning at like 9 a.m.
Oh, beautiful time for a game. Might have to go check out a bar, maybe get a little suds in before the game. But yeah, that may be where I do. And finally, Canada. Soccer for Canada, the women's team, as you put it on our show sheet, having a bad time because they got popped for
cheating. Connor Stallions.
A little Spygate using a drone, to fly over opponents' practices. Now, we don't know what they gathered from that, but presumably formations and other things. You're not allowed to do it. Even if they got nothing out of it, you are attempting to cheat.
So the way that this came down, and it was interesting kind of seeing the unraveling of the story, was that New Zealand, who they were playing in the opener, I believe it was New Zealand, they're playing New Zealand in the opener, and New Zealand in their training sessions noticed that a drone was flying above head. They're like, hey, that's weird. Like, what is that drone doing? So I don't know if it was the IOC or like the authority, like the actual like French police.
Well,
because I'd imagine it's a no fly, like it's a no fly
zone.
Yeah,
there's a lot of that too around the Olympics in general. It's like there are rules. Usually at sporting events, you can't fly a drone without it being approved. There are certain areas where they know drones are not supposed to be.
So they tracked this drone to a Canadian staffer's hotel room who was like an independent contractor for Canada or something. They're like, hey, what are you doing?
I mean, it could be as something as simple as, hey, we need some extra hands to shoot video for promotional stuff for Canada. So you hire a couple like social media video creator types. Could have been that he was one of those type of people, but he was using a drone in apparently a way that you're not supposed to.
In a way that you're not supposed to. And then that gets crazy. So they send like two or three staffers home
Him home and the assistant who he apparently was working with
home
to obtain this.
And then I was reading a TSN report, which was, you know, Canada's big sports outlet.
There he is.
So I'm reading it like 2 days, you know, after all this debacle had happened. And it was like Canada's cheating scandal goes all the way back to, you know, they have a long history of this. And I think it was in the last World Cup, the qualifiers for Canada to get into the World Cup. It was a game maybe against Panama, want to say, that they had tracked that back to evidence of them drone footaging their training session. So like this is now a multi-year thing. They dismissed their head coach.
Yep. The women's team did.
The women's Jesse Marsh did not get dismissed.
Yeah.
They dismissed their head coach. And now all of a sudden it's like this was one of the bigger cheating scandals that we've had, because then the US came out, the US Federation said, yeah, we knew that they were doing this. We just didn't report it to anybody.
Well, yeah, it became one of those things where people have now come out and said, we thought this was happening, but we couldn't get enough proof to go report it, but we believed this to be going on. We were keeping an eye out for this type of thing. So I also saw that there were reports that the men's team was doing this too, and that it wasn't Jesse Marsh, supposedly, according to one of the reports I saw, apparently was told about this in the lead up to the most recent Copa America when he took the job. He's just been on the job, what, 3 months there?
Not very long.
And he apparently said, we're not doing that, no. And told whoever was mentioning that, like, that's not something we do. Now, maybe he was saying that in an email and a text message and like, I don't ever want to see that footage. Come to my office so we can discuss it further. And then I was like, you can damn well keep doing that. Just don't tell anybody. I'll put it in an email.
Just don't leave a trail behind for me.
Yeah, I'm not saying Jesse Marsh is innocent of anything there either. What I am saying is it is entirely believable that he may very well have just walked into this and said, what? No. I'm not.
Not getting my mitts dirty with that.
No. But I also saw a lot of Canadian women soccer players who came out and said, this sucks because I'm trying to remember the woman who played for them for like 20 years, who was like, you know, one of their big, like their best player ever.
Like an Abby Wambach type.
Yeah. You would know her name. As soon as I hear it, we'll all remember it. I'm just blanking on it. I'm sorry for doing that. But I remember her quote was essentially like, none of the players ever saw anything like this. We may have, maybe we did benefit from it, but we weren't shown anything. There was never like overhead footage of drones. It sucks because now all of our accomplishments are being diminished when we had no say in this matter.
Right.
We didn't choose for them to do this. We didn't want any of this to happen. And most of us probably didn't even know that it was happening. You know, she's saying she didn't know anything about it.
Kristen Sinclair.
Yes, Kristen Sinclair. Thank you. Like they did not know about this at all. They're saying, which I understand, maybe if you're cynical, and I am, you could say the players just denying because, you know,
what else are they going to do?
But I can totally understand how a coach would say, you know how we keep this under wraps? We don't get in trouble for it. We don't let anybody know that we're doing it. And they get all their intel, and then they just deploy formations that work well against what they've seen from this illegally gained footage. I am willing to believe that, like, with Bountygate, or Spygate, all that stuff with the Patriots, I'm sure not all the players knew about it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure, you know, Bill Belichick knew about it.
Also, too, I mean, if I'm watching film, like, if I put myself into the shoes of those Canadian players, because I'm guessing that they didn't know that they were obtaining this illegally. Like if you're showing me practice and showing me footage, I'm thinking like, oh, okay, this is just overhead view of like kind of what's going on and some of their tactics. I'm not questioning the sourcing and like how.
Well, they may not. I'm saying they may not even have seen that footage. They may just have seen game footage and then said, hey, but you know what we're going to do is we're going to deploy this formation. And the coaches came up with that because they had practice footage that said tomorrow they're going to do this. So we're going to put you over here and you over there. And they're just going, all right, coach, I trust what you say. That's their job. I can see how there's a way where players would not have any clue this was going on.
Absolutely.
So big tarnish for the Canadian program, for whatever that's worth. And just something that, it was a pretty significant scandal. I don't think we've seen anything like that in a long time in the Olympics, other than in like gymnastics, swimming,
other sports,
track and field, cycling, pretty much every other sport.
I mean, yeah, they won gold though, like during the last Olympics.
Yeah, so I mean, this is, you're talking about a gold medal winning team, one of the best teams in the last 8 years of women's soccer, like, and all of it now has a big, big, huge asterisk next to it. So
that's just most of the Olympics now that I'm thinking about it.
Weightlifting. I'm sure judo has had its scandals. I don't watch a lot of judo.
I don't either. Badminton, I knew that horrible cheating scandal a few years ago.
They're doing something to those shuttlecocks. You know, there's just, you got it. That's cockgate, I believe is what they call that, right? Shuttlecock gate,
I know
something
that's
like
a
that.
That's a very easy sport to throw, apparently, badminton.
Is it?
Yeah, there was a big scandal. Like, it wasn't the last Olympic cycle, but maybe 8 years ago.
I did not. I thought we were all making a joke here.
No,
and now
that was like that was like serious because the two teams who were playing were like really good, and the loser of the match would have had an easier route to like the gold medal match. Then instead of like the winner, they had to play a tougher team. So like
so
all they did
strategically forfeited, strategically, but pretended like they were trying.
Yeah, like strategically losing, and then like the integrity of the game was called for, and like they were like, of course, you know, they're like, oh, badminton is a sport that's been littered with this throughout its past. And I'm like,
oh my,
I didn't know about that.
Chess,
yeah,
that's not even. I don't think that's Olympic sport, but it's international.
Breakdancing,
big, huge scandals in breakdancing. A lot of b-boys and. I don't know any breakdancing terminology
other than
B-boy. That's what I have. All right. Well, that's it for us. Anything else you want to add?
Have a great time this weekend, man.
I will. You enjoy the fishing.
Yep. We don't fish. We don't bring fishing poles.
Enjoy your time at the lake with the beer.
Not even a body of water around this weekend.
No water?
Just a cabin in the woods.
Oh, well,
it's still a fishing trip somehow.
Well, enjoy whatever it is you all get into up there in your cabin in the woods. A lot of backgammon. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes.
A lot of bridge club and Parcheesi. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll see you all next time. Thanks again for listening to Bone and Beam United.